I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5, 7378-03776. Okay, who's going to be the MVP of the seeding games?
Well, Dame Lillard, I think, is the favorite.
It's a big favorite.
Yeah.
1-5. So, in other words, you'd have to lay $5 to win one. Devin Booker, next best.
Will they allow the play-in games to determine, or is it just after the 8 seeding?
I think it's just the seed, because okay. That's playoff, right?
Because if it's Phoenix versus Portland, I think whoever wins that should decide it.
Yeah. Booker should definitely have better odds than that. Or shorter odds. He's a great value.
Yeah. Well, but Dame is probably going to win it, no? I mean.
Probably, but that seems like a.
3-2 ain't that great.
No, it's not that great. I didn't realize it was just 3-2.
Yeah, 3-2.
They're giving you no value anywhere.
No. Luka's 5-1. TJ Warren's 5-1. James Harden's 8-1, along with Giannis. Player to make all seeding games team. You have to risk $5,000 to win one to bet
Say
on.
Say this again?
All seeding games team, first top five of these 8 games. First team.
You have to risk how much?
$5,000 to win $1 on Dame Lillard. He'll definitely make the first team.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you've got a lot of money, if you have millions of dollars, you put it on.
Luka.
Luka is, you have to risk $2,500. Devin Booker is $1,000 to $5,000 as well. They'll be first team all seeding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And TJ Warren, you have to risk $2,000 to win a dollar.
They're not giving you any value in any None. Of these. What?
They're mean, they don't,
okay, then who else?
They don't
What's
even
James
want you
Harden?
To bet.
What's
James is Harden? 1-500.
You got to risk 500? Are you sure you don't win 500?
No, it's 1-500. No.
He's minus 500?
Like,
then who are you betting on? Everybody is.
Everybody, yeah. I mean.
No, that's 5,000 then.
I mean, it's silly. It's actually silly. You don't want. They don't want any. They
can't
don't
be
want
1-5. You mean 100?
Will
to
any player score 40+ points during West play-in? In other words, Dame Lillard or Devin Booker?
I would say no.
Yes is minus 200.
I would say no.
And no is plus 160.
I would say no.
Yes is the favorite.
No, I know. I'm just telling you. I'd take.
Yeah. Will any player score 50+ points in the West play-in? Yes is plus 210. It's not the great odds for 50 points.
Yeah, they're not. This is the worst odds I've ever seen in my life.
And we won't.
Well, actually, you're getting good odds on no for a 40-point game. You're getting plus 160.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think they're correct odds.
And we'll find out who's going to be in one participant in the West play-in by about 5:30 today, because Memphis and Milwaukee are playing at the same time as Dallas and Phoenix. So it's kind of got like a World Cup feel where. Like, Memphis has to play it out because Phoenix is playing at the same time. They won't know their fate. It'll be going on exactly the same time.
Wow.
So they kind of set it. They schedule these games, the final games, as things played out. So they kind of said, what can we do to create some drama? And this is what they did. So Giannis is suspended, but he probably wasn't going to play anyway. The question will be, are the Bucks, I don't know, 4 through 15 good enough to beat this Memphis team who's played awful in the bubble?
And does Dallas have anything to play for?
That's the other question. Do they have seeding implications?
No, they're locked in a 7, aren't they? They're locked in the seven.
I think they might be. So if they are, then that would certainly help the Suns. The Dallas is Dallas is locked in the seven. They're a game and a half behind Utah. Can't catch them.
Can't catch them.
I don't think so.
And they're way ahead of Portland. So yeah.
So I would imagine that Dallas is going to sit guys. So both teams will be facing teams who are sitting guys. The question will be, for Phoenix's sake, can Milwaukee beat them?
Well, here's the deal.
The Grizz.
That's the key. But here's the deal is that, how about, my goodness, if you would have bet the Suns, which was probably one of the longest odds.
Yeah.
To go 8-0 in the seed. You know how much money you would have won? 8-0. That's the team that's going to go 8-0.
There was a bet. Would anyone go 8-0?
8-0. Well, no, you could pick the team. And the odds were unbelievable.
Yeah, but you had the whole NBA. Yeah. And no 8-0 team was like, would somebody go 8-0? It was yes. No was like minus 4 something. And yes was plus 300 or something like that with all the NBA.
Well, how about this, though? Each team had its odds of going 8-0. You know what the Suns were? Astronomical.
Yeah, because no one thought they could
and
do
just
that.
And just by the way, the Portland's playing the Nets as the capper to all this, and the Nets have won 3 in a row. And because they're like, they don't have any stars, they're all playing hard. So I don't know who they're going to rest, because it's not like KD and Kyrie have been playing and they're going to sit. So the Nets might have the best team playing as far as the teams who can keep a team out. Because I imagine they'll just play all their guys, because all their guys are like, I don't know, some of them are just street guys, other guys, like 8th, 9th guys in rotation normally, they're starters.
Are they dangerous for Toronto?
They're not dangerous at all for Toronto, but as far they're dangerous for Portland, because if those guys have been playing hard throughout, they've won 3 in a row, and I don't think they're going to sit guys.
Right. Well, I mean, they've been winning, though.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but why aren't they dangerous for Toronto, then?
Because Toronto's really, really good.
Yeah, yep. Right now, Orlando doesn't even have to play. They don't have a play-in. So, because they're 7.5 games up on Washington. So, that's over in the East. Orlando will be playing the Bucks in the first round. But it is certainly up for grabs here with two teams at 33 and 39. Do Grizz get it if they win?
The Grizz are in if they win.
If they win.
They would if Portland wins, the Grizz are 9th. Which means that clearly they had to beat Portland twice. So Portland went from outside looking in to controlling their destiny and maybe only having to win one game. Now, as far as the Nets are concerned, Jamal Crawford's out. Barely even know who Dante Hall is. He's questionable with the ankle sprain. Chris Chioza, who's played for them through this bubble, is questionable. So they may be sitting some guys. So it'll be interesting to see who has the toughest competition to win their way in. It may be skeleton crews all around against these teams who need the W. We'll see.
Crazy stuff going on right now, right here.
It's
going
to be like the last week of NFL season where you have just ridiculous point spreads because they can't figure out, like, God, what do we do with this now? Mm-hmm. Who's playing? Who's not playing? If you're a team that's out, like, why not let guys play? If it's not going to affect your seeding at all. For example, the Rockets have guys who need to they have guys who need minutes.
Right. Well, all like the teams out, you should play everybody and play as hard as you can. But if you like the Lakers, what's the sense of playing?
If you're in a meaningless, but I'm saying if you're in a meaningless game, man, like Tyson Chandler can take out a nose ring and actually play.
No, he can't.
Has he worn his jersey yet?
I don't think beneath the shooting shirt.
Yeah, beneath the shooting shirt.
Probably
no.
Not.
No, why would he?
You can't just rock active. A nose ring and play through a hoop.
Yeah, if you missed it, what game was it? The Portland game?
Yeah.
He had a hoop nose ring.
They had a kind of a close-up of him like, what?
Which would indicate he wasn't playing.
He doesn't have any.
Wait a minute. Hey, get in there, Tyson. Wait. I gotta get this out.
He didn't get taped up. He didn't put on a jersey.
No. When's the last time he played?
I don't remember.
When was the last minute he was on the court?
I can't remember.
Before that Lakers small ball game.
I have to look at his game log.
That was in March.
Oh, it definitely hasn't happened in the bubble. I'm trying to figure out, did it happen in February? When's the last time he played a basketball game?
Wow.
I just got to look at his game log.
His game log.
But, yeah, I mean, he's there because people people like him, and he's a veteran that people like, but he's not playing.
He is a good guy on the bench.
Yeah, everyone appears.
My buddy's got seats right there, and Tyson is up there cheering, and he's talking to guys, and he's a good teammate.
The last time Tyson Chandler played was February. He got in February 9th for like a second.
Oh, God.
It looks like.
February 9th?
What? Are you serious?
Man, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I remember thinking that he was going to be
a factor.
What's he making?
No, he can't be making much, but is that the easiest job in the world?
Once they went committed to small ball, his season ended.
Yep. The last time he played more than a second, according to this, was game 41 against the Lakers. And the Rockets lost that one. He played over nine minutes. That's the last time he's played.
Boy, talk about taking it for the team. Hey, Tyson, we lost this game. You're done. Wait, I didn't. What? He'd make his base salary this year is $2 million. $2.5 million.
That's a good gig.
Yeah. He made $2.5 million this year to sit there. That's the best job in America.
Out of the seven.
That's better than backup quarterback because you're not sure if you're going to play. If you're the backup quarterback, you got to be ready.
Yep.
Tyson Chandler can wear a nose ring and make $2.5 million.
And not just a nose ring, a hoop nose ring. Not even one of the studs.
No, a hoop nose ring. Yeah, you can play with a stud, I guess. But yeah. No, he wears a hoop nose ring and doesn't even have a shirt on, a jersey. He's like, I'm just going to zip this up real quick, put the shooter shirt on. Y'all can put the money. I opened a bag, put it in a bag, zip it up.
You think he's getting cash payments directly?
Yeah, maybe. Well, I don't want him.
Can y'all make a direct deposit
take him off on your taxes, that's for sure.
The only player I've ever seen with that type of ring, and it's been who played, was Alvin Kamara. He had the septum piercing.
But he had a face mask on.
Right. And
he
a visor.
Plays with a full-on.
Yeah, but that's still, to me,
yeah, I'm a little crazy. Like,
dude, are you kidding? 915 ESPN 97.5, are you kidding? You know what? You can put all your money in a bag when you save it at Champion Energy, champion.energy/1560. People, it is the only way to go when you're talking about electricity, buying your electricity from someone else. Hey, first of all, it's a locally owned and operated, so the money is staying right here as opposed to these other places where it's going up to Dallas or Ohio. Oh, good for you. Way to go. Send your money out of the city and not care about your own city. Listen. And, oh, by the way, you're sending less to our peeps over at Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:18. I just bet Henrik Norlander straight up against Bezenholt. So hopefully this is going to come through. Hopefully this will come through for me. Who do you like in that one, in that matchup?
Bezenholt.
Today. Who do you like in it?
Bezenholt.
You like him?
Yeah.
I know. I bet Norlander.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can understand why you do that.
You got the Wyndham Championship today, and I like Norlander in this one. Tease off at 11:25. Let's go. Go, Norlander. 9:18, ESPN 97.5. Hopefully I have a better day than I did the other day with my Rockets bet. That was... because of Joel. Thanks, Joel.
Eric Gordon.
Did Joel tell me Eric Gordon was going to play?
Yes, he did. Is Eric Gordon the reason you bet it?
Why are you so salty about? You had four. Joel had four heavy.
He lies.
What about all the guys out for the Spurs? How about play better, Rockets? Get mad at the Rockets.
These last two games. Oh, I'm going to have to tweet Daryl Morey. I'm going to need a pizza, Daryl.
Yeah, it has not
Man,
been.
Man, your bias can just great. Leak through.
Dude. No, I could use a pizza. Let's go, Daryl.
What toppings would you like on that pizza?
Meat lovers, with how much I lost on them.
You need a specialty pizza.
I want it all. And I want olives.
Kalamata? Or just black olives?
The Kalamata. Mm. Oh, are you kidding me? And black olives, fine. And green olives.
How many things do you want on this pizza?
I got Mediterranean blood. I'm an olive guy.
But how many... toppings to
everything. You know what he owes me? For the way
pizza's
they played?
It's so heavy, it's like yeah. falling the into the middle of the games. Into the middle of the pie is collapsing. That's why they have to eat those thick-ass Chicago pizzas.
No, oh, stop with that.
You can bake it into a cheesecake.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Of tomato sauce and olives.
You insulted them a little bit.
Thank you. Thank you. You were a little out of order. You were a little out of order yourself. No, there's no question about that. So Nebraska says they're staying.
Yeah, all that stuff we talked about. Finding a different way and maybe playing games in the fall.
That was just a lot of talking about
joking.
Badge.
I mean, once
it's
we realize
it's going to happen, you can't leave the conference.
Well, now people have also said that they now if they're guaranteed that they're going to get their bag from the Big Ten Network and from their other television contracts, and if they're guaranteed that they're actually going to play in the spring, then you know what? Okay, now it's going to be more difficult. There's how many guys are going to sit, are going to opt out because they want to. I don't know how many Nebraska guys are actually, how many Nebraska guys they got going to get drafted.
I have no idea. I have to look at it. They got a tackle, but they got a tackle that will for sure. But I don't know. You got to roll with your conference, whatever your conference decides. You can talk a lot and you can be upset, but ultimately you're going to have to roll with your conference. And they are going to have – there's a lot of talk about it's impossible to have a spring games and talk about how difficult it is. It is going to be difficult. But as we saw with Jeff Brohm, there's coaches out there who can find ways to do that. I think his methodology – he laid it out like a coach, which is the most important thing because he actually showed what practices would look like in terms of weekly, how many hours, what types, when the walkthroughs are, what's mandatory, what's not. He really put a lot of thought into it and laid out a very reasonable – now, part of being reasonable also included dropping two of the games to an 8-game schedule because I think everyone recognizes 20 is just – 20 is a ton. NFL teams play 18 – I mean – preseason games, postseason games. NFL teams can play over 20 games. So I think you could at least make an argument. 18 games with this much space in between them, 8 and 10 is not necessarily going to be as impactful from an injury standpoint, you don't think? So the bottom line is they are going to play. Now, here's the other thing. I saw a prop bet on a website that you could actually play that was, will there be will there be fall football? And it was yes is minus 185. But it's not as big a favorite as you might think. Yes is the favorite right now. Minus 185, there will be fall
football. How far are we? We're only weeks away from the first game, right?
August 29th is week zero. So this Saturday would be 2 weeks away.
2 weeks away.
Wait. When's the first? I thought games were being pushed back.
Well,
no, not all of them.
East Carolina and Marshall are still scheduled for August 29th.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about East Carolina Marshall yesterday. Yeah. That's getting late, too. That's why yes is the favorite, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be getting
we're
late.
We're only a couple of weeks away.
You're going to be late to get. And it depends, I think, a lot on what's going on in those two areas, like from a COVID standpoint. Because your opinion of what the – your opinion of the threat – is directly correlated with where you are. Like, there was a time 6 weeks ago where I thought, it may have been 2 months ago, where I thought we'd have 50% in the stands for college football games in the fall because we didn't have it. Yeah, it was probably a good 2 months ago because it wasn't hitting us like it was hitting other places. And then once it hits you, you realize, ooh, I'm not sure there's even going to be college football now.
Well, to answer your question, as far as West Virginia is concerned, as of yesterday, 131 cases in that state yesterday. So not a very big population, but very low. East Carolina is in North Carolina, right?
Yes.
That's where that is?
Yes.
They are better. They're doing better than their neighbor. I know South Carolina has higher cases, but as far as North Carolina is concerned, some of it's about reporting because who knows when they get them in and is it in bulk. But yesterday, 1,051 cases for the state of North Carolina, and they're trending downwards as far as cases because just as of, let's see, July 30th, it was 2,300. And the last couple of days, they've been in the 1,500 range. So they're trending down. So maybe they've – and that's – now that game's 2 weeks away. So – and I haven't heard anything about Conference USA not forging ahead. In fact, everything says they're continue to forge ahead in the AAC the same way. So they'll be the first ones up.
Oh no, we're going to have fall football. Will another conference bail? They could, But the ACC, to me, the ACC and SEC are locked in for sure. The one that could teeter would be the Big 12, but I don't think so. When you look at all the teams, when you look at all the teams regionally from Texas, we know the governor is not is going to be in favor of the of them playing. There's not as much political pressure in the state of Texas to cancel. There's not going to be in Oklahoma. So you don't have the makings. There's certain ingredients that will go into it, and the COVID numbers have been coming down from a state standpoint. So I do think the Big 12 will probably keep going.
Particularly for teams like East Carolina, Marshall, and the ACC, where you're deep into not just practice, you're already hitting. You're already doing pads. The ACC, they already got their pads on. You know, Carolina, those two teams, Marshall and East Carolina, have a game coming up in 2 weeks. So they definitely are already fully into hitting. And I think, I don't know when their students get back on campus, but I don't know if something like that would determine them not playing in the next 2 weeks.
We got a call from John Clay wants to get on the show here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, John Clay.
Hi, I'm dying to get on the show. Thank you so much for letting me on your program.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
No, you've called before. So what do you want to talk about there, John Clay Wolf? John Clay?
Well, you're busting my sack. Can I say that over the radio?
You can say sack,
you just
yes.
said sack
you
on the radio,
sack,
yes.
yes.
Over your daughter's car. This is so typical, Lance.
What happened?
You know, this guy's using peer pressure on me. To like overpay for his daughter's car.
Right.
What did he
and,
do?
And okay, hold on a second.
What did he do?
Am I Italian or am I not Italian? Okay. So what's going to happen? I'm going to strong arm you. give me my money. Give me my money. Right.
Give me the VIN.
So instead of going to givemethevin.com, I went right to his. I texted him. Here's the VIN number. Here's some pictures of the car. Here's the odometer. How much you give me?
So he's strong-arming you. So he's really putting your feet to the fire.
Right.
Yeah, that's typical mafia stuff.
Right. Yeah. So, and
Granato, your gal drinks as much as you do by the looks of the pictures because it's skin up all over. And looking at the Carfax history, you know it's some of the skin jobs have been reported to the authorities.
Oh, the Carfax is not going to be great for Frank. This is Frankie's car, right?
No, but this is a girl that lived in the state of Louisiana and attended LSU. I mean, and wants to be in politics. I mean, they can't. I mean, they should have two DWI Mulliganses right there.
That's true. That is true. So
I'll give $7,500.
$7,500?
Yeah.
That's way more. Okay, done.
No, Duh. Are you sure you want to say that on the air?
I got proof. Okay? Now, I'm not sure. Listen, you might bring a tow truck to get it.
Does it run?
So you want me to buy it in Houston before she goes to D.C., right?
She's in D.C. already. She drove a truck up there. And that thing, I'm not sure how much I'm going to have to pay for that by the time it got up there.
What part of H-Town is the Mercedes
Galleria.
All right. Well, I have an office right there at the Galleria.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I just remembered. Guess where my office is? It's at your studio. It's in the ESPN studios. We just moved over there. Did you know that?
No, you're in our same building.
Literally.
Oh,
Zane
awesome.
Works there. I forgot that because the building we were in got all Corona crazy, so I talked to Gal and we made a deal.
Is this on air or off air conversation?
No, this conversation is on air.
So there was two people who moved in over there who looked a little sketchy. I didn't know what they were doing. Over in the sales side. They had a couple computers. Their cubicles are near mine.
I thought it was just IRS was auditing.
It's John Clay Wolf?
I guess they're John Clay Wolf's guys. I like those guys a little sketchy. What are they doing here?
You guys with the wolf?
Yeah, they've got...
You know, when you're running numbers and moving money, you got to put people on the inside to keep up.
All right. We'll set them up to come pick it up. Like I said, you might need a tow truck.
Tell him. Actually, Granato, he's got a check printer right there that comes out with my signature on it on Bank of America check. And seriously, when you get done, walk over and grab Zane and say, hey, Wolf bought this car for me for $7,500, and he asked you to load it up and get
it. Your strong arm tactics worked?
Yeah.
And he'll do it right there. He'll do it right there. And for any of the listeners, you can go to givemethevin.com. load it in. We can print the check. Can go down there, have lunch with Granado while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll buy.
Uh-huh. Actually,
he won't.
Better get here right at 11:01.
Sell a car to GiveMeTheVIN.com. Take it up down to the ESPN studios to get paid and have lunch with Granado.
There you go. You better here be at 10:56 because that's when I get off. 10:56. John Clay Wolf. Man, we appreciate it. Thanks. $7,500. What? Yes.
He's so thrilled. Apparently, someone's a bad negotiator.
I didn't think I was going to get $3,000 if you want to know the truth.
John Clay Wolf, what are you doing?
John Clay Wolf.
He has no idea that the car even...
Well, he bets what he does. He pays you more.
You're going to get back to
living
proof. Better go put it in a bank today.
He just said, I'm not... You might have to bring a tow truck. He's not sure if it runs.
He said, better bring a tow truck. That's after John Clay Wolf came with the number. Right now, he's going, listen... Gary or whatever the guy's running the check thing. I'm gonna
listen. I'm telling
print
you,
the check out and immediately put a stop payment on it.
It starts. The question is about whether or not you can drive forward with it. Okay?
That seems like an issue.
It's a big question.
I think it might be a U joint, but whatever. You know.
Yeah,
whatever.
We'll get it figured out.
Well, whatever.
Yes.
Thank you. Give me the VIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I just watched Rex Chapman tweeted out a video. It's a story. Daniel Sims is firmly behind the Confederate flag. And there's a group that is, and they're called the Sons.
Daniel Sims?
Daniel Sims is a black guy. And he is.
Do we know him?
No. He's a guy, but a bit of a.
Sounds like the Dave Chappelle character.
Well.
The black, he was blind, right? He was blind, black, white supremacist. Right.
Clayton Bigsby.
Yeah.
Put some respect on that man's name.
This is Daniel Sims, and he's real. And he said, I was adopted by a white family. I lived in a white neighborhood. I'm all about the flag, the Confederate flag. Okay.
He's all about the flag. Did he give anything beyond that why he loves the Confederate flag?
Just that's his history.
Just he's around white people?
He doesn't want you to change his history, Del.
It's not his history.
It's his history.
What does the Confederate flag have to do with Daniel Sims?
Because he said his heritage, not hate.
That's right.
His heritage?
Yes, well, it's his heritage. He's from the South, and he's damn proud of it.
Does he
and that's his flag.
It's not. Well, then he's a traitor.
Song of the South.
Did he admit to being
a pie and a shut my mouth?
Did he admit to being a traitor?
Yeah, another one.
I remember other songs.
What is that one, Lance? Can you sing it for us?
That was from
I remember other
Alabama
songs
or somebody. I think Alabama sang it.
Well, can you sing it for us?
No.
Go ahead. You know the consequences.
No, you wouldn't capture yourself saying things.
Of course
so forget
not.
It.
Above, rain, hell below. Killing them hogs real nice and slow. Brett Myers going to throw that gas down around your knees, put you on your ass. Ah! Rebels, rebels, bringing the muskets and bringing down death on us. Rebels, rebels, keep everybody in bondage.
Oh, way down south in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away.
What about songs of the South?
Songs
Lance?
Of the South. I mean, that's just the EP. You got more? You gonna put out a full length album?
Well, he needs to make another LP. Let's go.
We need the full length.
For people who didn't hear, my favorite one is the second one where we were talking Rebel. About when the players had to sing. We don't want to sing the school song anymore.
At Ole Miss.
Listen, you need to keep singing it. Rebel, Rebel. I don't know that that's their song. As
I don't
matter of fact, I'm going to guess it's not.
We want to keep everyone in bondage?
Keep us, that's pretty God, sure.
Keep everyone in bondage. And, you know, that would be the tone the players would have to sing it in because you can't sing that song and be, like, chipper about it.
I know. Like, all right, we sang it.
We want to keep now, everyone in bondage.
Yeah, the crowd would like, be yeah, more.
Like Coach Ogeron.
Yeah.
Coach Ogeron was a wild boy at one point.
He was at Ole Miss.
He was. who was a wild boy. You think Kojo is thinking, we want to keep everyone? I don't think so.
We want to keep everyone bonded.
We don't have
anybody down there. But yeah. To this day, find the one for people who've never heard it where Edo is doing a car sales ad from Mississippi. Del, have you ever heard it?
Yeah, I've heard it.
Okay, because it was way back in the day we would play it when he was at Ole Miss. For those who've never heard some of the Ole Miss Ed Ogeron stories, now Ed Ogeron lifts. This just in, Ed Ogeron stays jacked. Ed Ogeron has had a wild background. Ed Ogeron, when he got to Ole Miss, there is a famous story, and it was actually written about, that he got in, he screamed at his team that they were going to be wild boys. He took his shirt off. The first thing he did was took his shirt off just to show how yoked he was, and he challenged anyone who wanted to come fight him to come fight him. This is like a prison yard tactic. Ed was basically just trying to say, I'm the alpha. This is his move to say, I'm the alpha. So he challenged anyone to a fight. No one would fight him. So then he got them hyped up and jumping around. By the end, they were basically in a mosh pit, slamming into each other, yelling, wild boys, wild boys, wild boys. And that's what he was going to be. He was going to try to create the wild boys. Now, that didn't play out, but he was very popular in Mississippi. So much so that as head coach, he was offered a gig doing commercials for a Hummer, a company that was doing Hummers. And this is when Hummers were a big deal when they first came out. So they said, Ed, listen, come down here. We got to film a shot. We're giving you your Hummer, but we want to film a commercial. So bring your Ole Miss gear and let's come do an Ole Miss commercial. And we'll do that. Okay, coach? I'm going to go do it on that. And then somebody, and then the person who's in charge of shooting the commercial said, hey, I'm a little concerned about people being able to understand the coach on this. Do you think this commercial is going to go great? And the dealer probably said, absolutely. This is important that we do this. So here, without further ado, is Ed Ogeron's actual real commercial as he tries to sell Hummers in Oxford, Mississippi.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I believe the Hummer is the best vehicle on the road. Big, tough, aggressive, and it represents everything that we want at Ole Miss. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer. Tell them about it, JoJo.
Mississippi, they are here. The new Rogers Dabbs H3 Hummers are here.
The folks at Rogers Dabbs Hummer are first team players. Come see them.
Rogers Dabbs and Hummer like nothing else. New H3 starting at just $32,000.
Love it.
And then he knocked the guy down to the ground with a forearm shiver, probably.
No.
Because he's a wild boy.
No. Coach O doesn't knock people to the ground, okay?
Not anymore.
Mm-hmm. No.
When he was at Nichols State with my brother.
He's still out there. You know.
Bebe was serious back in the day.
Every day.
When he's at Miami.
Coach O at noon.
Wild boy.
Every day at noon, no matter how hot it is, Coach O's outside with his shirt off. Running the track.
See, I like that commercial. I just have a problem with the music in the background. They should have gone with this.
Hover above, rain hell below. Killing them hogs real nice and slow.
I am you Coach O. You a Hummer?
Throw that gas.
I love Hummer. You love Hummer.
Tell them, JoJo. Rebels, actually, this is the song.
Yeah, that's the song.
Hey, JoJo, tell them about that Hummer H2.
Hummer H2 is tough just like Ole Miss, the Rebels.
Keep everybody in bondage.
Except for that part. We didn't really say we need to put them lyrics out of the song. We need to put them lyrics out of the song, and then you can get a Hummer.
Makes it hard to recruit.
Hard recruiting when you have that language in your school song.
Yeah, it's hard when you know that stuff we send the kids about with letters? Bondage is not something I want as part of the recruiting pitch.
It's hard. They're recruiting against Mississippi State. Using it to recruit against. That's Mississippi State. They shouldn't get a free pass on this. Yet they are.
It's Starkville, of all places.
We're the same damn state.
It's all right, Ed. It's all right. It's no big deal. Man, I'm watching some of Hard Knocks episode 1 during breaks, which are about, so that means I get about 40 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
To watch it, and because we're going to time, I'm going to be on with Bucky Brooks doing Move the Sticks podcast today, and they want us to talk a little bit about the protocol stuff and things like that. But it's amazing what NFL teams are doing for protocol. Like, from a safety standpoint, this is where you know the NFL has absolutely no consideration not to go. The amount of time, energy, and money they're putting into this, if you catch COVID, it's because somebody has been a little reckless. Somebody in your family, a wife, has gone to a grocery store and touched something. I mean, it's certainly accidental. It doesn't necessarily have to be reckless.
No, people have caught, plenty of people have caught it and not been reckless.
Right.
I mean, it's just that contagious.
Yeah, it's highly, highly contagious.
Yeah, even careful people.
So our friends on the island.
But if they do something stupid like that, then that's.
It makes it a lot easier. Our friends on the island, Kelly and McCool from the Phoenix Resort and Blue Water Grill, they are the ones that paid for us to go to New York when New York and the Astros, we went to the playoff series and all that stuff. They had no positive reports since March, and now there's 50 on the island. McCool got it. He had 10 straight days of fever. He's had 2 straight days of no fever. This will be day 13. This has lasted about 14 days for him already. It's been a pretty bad one for him. His wife got it too. They sent their kids to go stay with someone else. But they have no idea how anyone.
Wait a minute. Now this is the way to do.
The whole island has been shut down.
You can send your kids to.
No, I can go stay at McCool's house anytime I want.
I may use and just stay there, and the kids can't come.
I've already done this during last draft.
Why don't you?
I told my wife when Alec goes back to school, if he goes back in class, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm staying at McCool's. I got asthma. I'm not doing it. So I'll see y'all later. You can come over.
Your wife?
But wear a mask. Yeah, but she's got to wear a mask when she comes to my house, which is actually somebody else's house. they got 50 cases on the island now. 50 cases, and that island cannot support COVID. Just not enough
money. They don't.
So they're on literally like martial law. You just can't even go outside. Just forget it.
Wow.
You can't even do anything. But then my wife's uncle, who's been in the hospital for about 5 weeks, 4 on a ventilator, he's like, there's a chance. It looks like there's some positive, he's tested negative, but he also, they're moving him out of the COVID unit, and so we'll see how he comes along. But that's 5 weeks in the hospital.
That's unbelievable.
4 weeks, a month on a ventilator.
Wow. It
can be serious, man.
944 ESPN 97.5. We'll talk a little Everson Griffin on the other side. Don't go to him.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Greg Coleman says, I've watched almost every play that Everson Griffin has played for the Vikings. In 20 years on the sideline, he has been one of the most fascinating players that I've had the pleasure of getting to know. I will miss his energy. Everson Griffin signed with the Cowboys. Well, 1 year, $6 million, right? 3-3? 3 base and 3 for roster bonuses is what he signed for? Would Everson Griffin have fit here? I know he's a down lineman. He's a defensive end. But who cares? You know what they need? They need a pass rush. Everson Griffin, I guess maybe, probably not. Not 1 year, $6 million. I guess that wouldn't. And plus, he's not a true 3-4 guy. He's certainly a 4-3 guy. But, you got to bolster this pass rush. You know, Whitney, who's so on and off. And the other side is Brendan Scarlett.
They're already paid.
Well, I mean.
Paid.
I know Whitney's paid. I get it. They just paid him for no reason last offseason, for whatever reason. I guess Ejiofor, we've seen flashes, but we really haven't seen him on the field. So I guess Duke Ejiofor is going to be a main cog. Greenard is going to be somebody who's going to
not his rookie season.
He'll have to be on the field some.
Duke Ejiofor, not necessarily. Not if Duke is back and Brennan Scarlett and Whitney. I mean, there's 3 right there. I don't see.
Well, and Martin
fourth, and Jacob Martin. Yeah. And Jacob Martin was their best pass rusher.
Yeah, at the end of the season.
I don't think Greenard gets on the field. He's limited reps, and he'll have limited reps with all these guys. Duke Ejiofor could get cut. Duke Ejiofor was a late round pick. Greenard was a pick this year. They obviously think they need the position, or they wouldn't have drafted the position.
I think he'll be on the field.
So Duke Ejiofor could be a guy who gets cut.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm sitting here. What's Duke Ejiofor done besides had a really good preseason?
That's it. We know the possibility is there, but we haven't seen it.
I'll just say this. Now, I thought Jonathan Greenard was a skilled rusher. I like Jonathan Greenard coming out. I got a real. I was really concerned about him setting the edge. He shattered his wrist when he played for Louisville, and then he missed the rest of the season. It was, I think, the first game of the year. He shattered his wrist with Louisville. It was really, really bad. He missed the whole year. He transferred after that, graduate transfer to Florida. Played last year, but when I watched him, he was still kind of. I didn't think he really attacked people with that wrist when it came time to punch. And that's something you got to be strong with your hands. You got to be aggressive with your hands. The biggest problem for college pass rushers who move up to the pros and college edge rushers is playing with strong, skilled hands. And those guys who just win with athleticism, it's the first thing they learn is, crap, I got to get better with my hands. Like Mario, I keep saying Mario. Jadeveon Clowney has never really gotten skilled with his hands. And it's why he has hit a glass ceiling in terms of where his rush potential is. It's one of the reasons probably that he thinks he's worth a certain amount of money and teams don't, and he's still sitting on the sideline. It's kind of crazy that a player with Jadeveon Clowney's talent is still on the sideline. Everson Griffin has a greater track record, but he's also 32, will turn 33 in December. Now he's making $6 million, $3 million base, $3 million in bonuses. That's not a lot. Mario Williams has priced it. Jadeveon Clowney, I swear that's not even.
Why do you keep saying it?
I don't. There's something about those two guys that I see similar in terms of their potential.
Number one overall.
Subconsciously, they're number one picks. They both went to the Texans. They both have immense talent. Mario actually had better numbers than Jadeveon Clowney. Sometimes people have questioned the football, the desire to the football character for both.
I always thought Mario, his numbers did not translate to winning. I thought they were just numbers. He was just a stat piler. I don't know. I didn't even think he affected winning. I thought Jadeveon did.
Mario Williams' second season, he had 14 sacks. His third season, he had 12 sacks. Mario Williams was a little more impactful than we gave him credit. Remember now.
Impactful on winning? No.
But we also were comparing him against Vince Young all the time back then.
Yeah.
Vince was winning a division in 2007, and what were the Texans doing in
2007? But we would see Mario get a sack in a game. I mean, 14 sacks. It was great. But it really didn't affect the win. And oh, by the way, I didn't think he put enough pressures on. I was on that sideline. I just didn't think he affected winning. I just didn't.
Mario Williams in his career had double-digit sacks 5 times. Jadeveon has never had a double-digit sack season.
No, I get it. I also saw Jadeveon Clowney go sideline to sideline chasing guys down.
Okay, tackles for loss. Mario in his second, third, and fourth year with the Texans, 14, 17, 13. It's tackles on the other side of the line of scrimmage. I'll see what Jadeveon's was. I have no idea. But Jadeveon Clowney was a hustler on the field. For whatever you wanted to say Clowney, he did play hard.
He played hard.
He didn't have a reputation for practicing hard. Jadeveon Clowney's tackle for loss numbers, similar, 16, 21, 16.
Yeah.
So, you know, which doesn't surprise me.
No.
That's what I saw on the field. His sack numbers at that time, 6, 9.5, 9.
Maybe I was hard on Mario
We all were hard on Mario Williams because he was the first pick of the draft. His rookie year was so meh. Vince was the player. We spent an entire offseason from January to from the championship game to the draft. Nothing we talked about was other than Vince Young and Reggie, Vince and Reggie, Vince and Reggie. After the draft, it was Vince and Mario, Vince and Mario, Vince and Mario. Vince wins rookie of the year. Vince wins a division his second year. So
Vince
after the rookie
runs
of the
it
year,
in from 40 yards out to beat the Texans.
Mario, and this is partly the Texans' fault, really wasn't that good his rookie year. But the Texans admitted we screwed up. We played him at three technique. We played him at both end spots. We tried to stand him up like we were.
They were dumb.
We didn't let him just concentrate on one position.
Yep.
But I think Mario was better than we gave him credit for when it's all said and done. But I was right there, like everyone was. We didn't. The rookie season kind of soured us on Mario, and then Vince went into division, and Mario not single-handedly dominating. By his second and third years, Mario was a much, much better player. But it didn't coincide with good Texans play. And so it was like, well, what difference does it make if Mario gets 27 sacks in the last 2 years, which should have made a difference, but the Texans they're not getting to the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't affect winning at all. And I thought Jadeveon did more so. More so. I just thought his hustle and which is so ironic. And there's been talk this week that Bill O'Brien is talking about Jadeveon Clowney and possibly coming back here.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think it's what? What?
Well, so here's my thing. I've heard this from Danny Arnold.
You paid $7 million of his contract to get him out of here?
Yeah. Well, the Texans are going to do, it's not going to make financial sense for the Texans. They're going to do something dumb. That's what they do financially. From a football standpoint, my dad talked, when my dad was down working with Max Sharping, he had a chance to talk to Mario, and he told me, I really felt good about Mario. He said, we were talking about...
Not Mario, Jadeveon.
I'm really having... I cannot get out of this now. He said, I really like talking to Jadeveon Clowney. You could tell he was admitting things about how football's kind of... People are catching up with him. He's really got to make changes. He said, he struck me as a guy who has figured out, I can't just get by on just, And my dad was talking to him about, what's your favorite way to rush? And he would talk about it. He said, because what I hated was when we didn't know where you were going to be. And when you got to line up in the A-gap, it was a nightmare. When you were standing up, it was a complete and total nightmare. And they were talking about some pass rush, pass set stuff. Because to be a good pass rusher, you need to know how offensive tackles play. To be a good tackle, you need to know how defensive ends play. You can talk to a good tackle, and they can tell you great pass rush stuff. You can talk to a pass rusher, and they can tell you techniques of a tackle because they have to know each other's position. And my dad came away feeling very positive. Danny Arnold came away feeling very positive, and he's been out at Danny Arnold's place. And there was Alonzo Highsmith told me, man, he said, I think this is a different guy. He said, I think he gets it now. Mm-hmm. I think he's a different guy. Enough people have been saying that it's making me think somebody needs to take a one-year chance on Jadeveon Clowney. They really do, because a one-year chance, it costs you nothing financially. Not really. If you have the money, you can pay the money. It's not long-term. There's nothing long-term about it. And then let him see what he can do. See what he can do. You're not tied to him after the year. Do the Texans need pass rush? I don't know. I mean, they got a lot of guys at the spot, but do they have rush?
No, they don't. They don't have a rush. No. And now, this said, Seattle was 31st last year in sacks, and they had Jadeveon Clowney. I mean,
yeah, it's true.
And now they don't have Jadeveon Clowney. They were hoping that they were going to get Everson Griffin, but Griffin signed with the Cowboys.
Well, and they also drafted a guy who they think might be the next Frank Clark and Darrell Taylor out of Tennessee. So they got a guy who they think could end up being a big-time pass rusher. But, yeah, it is interesting that the team who had him and you would think would have the inside track, they can give him a long-term deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty telling.
Yep. 958 ESPN 97.5. You got to get out of here.
Yeah, I got stuff to do.
You don't have nothing to do.
I got to do Move the Sticks podcast.
You got golf? You playing golf tonight?
Nope.
Working. I'm out of here. That's bull. F out of here. Beat it, Lance. Lance is beating it. And in the meantime, we're going to take a break. ESPN 97.5.